Hello, I'm Victor Yalom from psychotherapy.net. I've been on a quest to find out what makes great therapists, and I've sat down with six masters to ask them this question. First, you'll hear from Scott Miller, who has spent several decades researching this.
I know you've done a lot of research into what makes a master in many fields, but specifically we're here to talk about what makes a master therapist. It's a big topic, but...
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we've made a lot of progress in the last 5 years on this particular subject. And the biggest piece of that is simply putting the therapist back in focus. What separates truly great therapists, and when I use that term, I mean therapists who are more effective than others and reliably so.
Okay.
Measurably better than others. It's what they do before and after their visits with their clients.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the best therapists simply spend more time outside of practice practicing.
Huh.
Specifically aimed at improving their skills.
Uh-huh.
Reading, thinking, reflecting, planning about the next time they meet with their clients. 14 and a half times greater number of hours than the bottom third of clinicians in our sample, for example.
Uh-huh. Reading.
Yeah.
Thinking. I think that's kind of self-evident, but practicing.
What is that? And the truth is, we're not sure.
Uh-huh.
We surveyed clinicians and had them complete an inventory of hundreds of items that they might spend their time doing. And the truth is, they simply spent more time doing it all than average clinicians.
Okay.
But we think that there are a couple of items that are really critical, and we know this because the same findings turn up in other fields, in music, in sports, in radiography, for example.
Uh-huh.
And those two things are, number one, working more on the basics. So for us, we've said, if you really want to get better as a therapist, chip away at becoming a more empathic, a better listener, a more collaborative, a person who seeks consensus better with their clients. And the reason we say this is because clients are different. Those skills also seem self-evident. This is psychotherapy 101.
Right. You know?
But the truth is, how clients experience them varies from person to person. And we extend our skills when we learn how to apply those basic core counseling skills to the individual client.
Yeah. So how do you practice empathy?
Well, you can do a couple of things.
Especially you're saying outside the therapy sessions.
Well, the first thing is to measure what you're doing inside the therapy sessions.
Uh-huh.
So you might use a measure like the SRS or any other alliance scale, and then look for when you have not been experienced by the person you're working with as empathic.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to go back then and review the video, think about what you might have said instead of what you did say during that particular time. Write it out longhand along with a couple of other options as well.
Or maybe think about what's gotten triggered in you that might have created a blocked empathy?
We haven't looked at that. I don't think it's about blocks. I think it's about not having the thing to say at the moment.
Really?
That there's some unique situation that's come up in the room. We assume that if therapists have all their complexes cured and out on the table, then somehow they should be able to respond in the moment to all clients.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just simply not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because clients are so diverse, and empathy really isn't something you do. It's something that the client experiences you doing.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not you're empathic is for the client to decide, which means you're going to have to get feedback from them that you weren't experienced that way and then practice.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what to do. So alliance, empathy, collaboration, goal consensus, listening for clients' preferences. How do they want to be viewed by others and by their clinician? I think then the second thing we know from other research as well, from actually our field, the field of psychotherapy, is that top performing clinicians are much more likely to admit making mistakes,
huh,
which I think is such a cool finding, than average clinicians. So if you really want to get better, look for when what you believe usually works didn't work with this particular client. Identify those things, pull them out, think about them, reflect on them, and plan to do something different the next time. You can also read a book about how you might have talked differently with a client. Watch a video. One of the ones that you've done with a master therapist, for example, see how they might language a particular interaction with a client that
mm-hmm.
you're struggling with. Practice, write those out, execute in the room, and then reflect on how well that worked or not.
Mm-hmm.
If it worked, great. If not, back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds in some way a simple message.
It's very simple.
Becoming a master of something takes hard work. There are no shortcuts.
Well, yes, there are no shortcuts. And this is something I say in workshops, and it sounds very depressing on its face.
Well, and counter to what you see in the field so much of, we got the new technique that's going to cure anxiety in 15 minutes, or this technique works in 10 sessions and has a 90% cure rate.
Yeah.
You don't buy that.
Well, I say, show me the data.
Uh-huh.
I just don't see that kind of data. And it just really defies experience for most clinicians. You're not going to learn a new language in a two-hour workshop or in a two-day workshop. Mm-hmm. It's something that...
I've seen it advertised on the internet.
Yeah, you may have. Try out one of those programs and see how well you do. We have them at home, and none, you know, they don't work all that well unless you put in the time. And then you're exposed to a context where you're actually forced to use the language, make mistakes, notice your mistakes, rehearse doing better, and then going back into having that conversation again with people. So those are really the two big ones, focusing on the basics and then mistakes. One other little cool finding from the latest study that we did was that top-performing therapists are much more likely to be surprised by client feedback. And if you think about that for a minute, because we really puzzled over this, it appears that top-performing therapists never act like they've seen it all. A more average therapist might not notice enough of a difference to be surprised by what the client's telling them. I've heard that. I fit it into my usual way of thinking. I don't have to change anything. Top-performing therapists are much more likely to be taken by surprise, have to give something more thought, rehearsal, and practice.
Yeah, because they're perhaps more in the moment, more spontaneously engaged. You don't know.
Who knows why they are the way they are? That's the million-dollar question. Why is it that these people act like this and do this? We have some theories and ideas about it, but in the area of expertise, the study of expertise, even in other domains, that's the real open question. Why do some do it? What we're convinced of is that all therapists can do it if they'll put in the time. The problem is it's not very glamorous. The education of physicians has radically changed in the last 15 years. The education of most therapists is not. We're practicing the same old models of training that we have for a very long time. We've assumed that what's important is people have information in their head, as opposed to be able to demonstrate the ability to achieve certain outcomes.
All right. So how would you change the traditional education of therapists?
I think that having exposure to a variety of approaches is very good. Change nothing about that. At the same time, I think I would start exposing clinicians much earlier to real people and measuring their outcomes and providing them with ongoing feedback. Target their deficits in performance and help them train to those deficits. For each person, those deficits are a little bit different. Those errors that they make are a little bit different.
What would your advice be to a student or an early career therapist wanting, you know, willing to put in the work and wanting to become achieve mastery in their field? What advice would you give them?
The first one is measure your outcomes. Begin measurement now. Every time you meet with a client, administer some standardized outcome scale. The second would be measure your alliance.
Every session?
Every session. If you want to get better, then you've got to measure all the time, because you have to find out when what you do didn't work for that client and during this particular visit. That helps you establish a profile of your strengths and weaknesses. The second thing I would do is find a coach, somebody whose work you admire and whose outcomes are known, that can train you specifically on those areas where you fall short, where your usual performance doesn't achieve outcomes or doesn't engage your client.
Aside, you make a strong case for data, outcome data.
Mostly as a counterbalance to where our field has been. At some point, everybody, I believe, will end up having to measure their data. It's just the way the world is going. Whether it's government, whether it's investing, law, everybody's being asked now to be accountable. I would, of course, like it not to just generate data, but also be able to use that data to grow professionally. I'm interested in that. That's what I want to do. At some point, once everybody's doing that, well, then this will be a problem. All the emphasis on data will be the thing that's hanging us up, and we'll probably need to move in another area. But right now, as an effective counterbalance to the intuition that has guided our choices of training and such, I think it's what needs to happen.
All right. Well, I think you're a counterbalance to kind of the traditional inertia in the field and the way things have been operating.
I'm excited about our field. I love therapy. I love the idea of two people having time to talk, get to know one another, and move. I've had that experience in my own life, and it's been such an important experience. I know that we can do better at the same time, and that part, it has me interested and exciting.
Thanks for your, you know, hard and persistent work.
Thanks.
In this regard, and for taking the time to share your thoughts and findings with me.
My pleasure.
All right.
Yeah, thanks.
I think Miller's message is quite clear. If you want to be a great therapist, you need to work hard at it. Our videos are a great way to do just that. Go to psychotherapy.net/videos for more information on how to access them.